Transformation is inevitable, but it doesn't have to take forever. What if you could see the obstacles before they happen, sidestep the common mistakes, and drive change faster than ever? That's exactly what we're here to do. Welcome to Transformation Unfiltered, the podcast where HR professionals share their stories about how they've hit fast forward on their transformation efforts and built legacies as world-class people leaders and change makers. And now, here's the show.
Of course, you cannot force people to take a promotion if they don't want to. And you can only suggest, and if they're not interested in it, that's a different conversation. But forcing people to do things when it's not right time for them or not right path for them, or making them to grow in a direction that you think is best for them, it's wrong, because you're going to see the resistance. And instead of nurturing their talent, you're going to just push them to become someone that they don't want to. And they essentially going to drop that. So they're going to change the organization. They're going to strive to find a place where they can feel happier or healthier. So to me, it is, at least in human resources, we have to strive to create an environment where people want to come to work, where people feel happy, where their mental health is valued, and they feel encouraged in the ways that promotes their inner abilities or their needs.
Today on Transformation Unfiltered, we're going to hear from Lilith. Lilith is the kind of leader who can see potential everywhere, and sometimes more than the people themselves that she leads can. You know, she wants growth for her team, and she wanted it so badly that she tried to carry it for them. But what she learned changed everything. She learned you can't want it more than they do. In this episode, hear how Lilith shifted from pushing development to inviting it by asking, listening, helping people grow, and grow into their own version of success, even when it looked different than what she had imagined for them. Lilith is a globally experienced HR executive and board advisor with a proven track record in leading organizational transformation, mergers and acquisition integration, and executive talent strategy. With over 15 years of leadership across boards, energy, manufacturing, and technology sectors, she partners with C-suites and boards to align people, performance, and business goals. She's led global HR operations in the US, UK, France, and West Africa, and has advised on executive compensation, DEI, and ESG strategy. At Balco Energy, she supported a high-impact merger that grew revenue tenfold. Currently at Royal White Cement, she drives HR strategy across six US states. Lilith serves on the boards and advisory committees of 3DA, 50/50 Women on Boards, World NGO Day Foundation, and Alliance for American Leadership. Her work reflects a commitment to inclusive leadership, ethical governance, and sustainable business growth. Lilith, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It is such a pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm really excited to dig in and share some of your biggest lessons that have propelled you to where you are today with our audience. So why don't we just dig in? Does that sound okay to you?
Sounds great.
Awesome. As many of our listeners know, we start with something that maybe we rewind back in your career and we talk about a messy moment or a mistake. So are you willing to drop us in at a messy moment or a mistake that happened early on for you?
Of course. I'm an immigrant, so I always strive to do better. And I have that mindset. This is a disclosure before I start my story. So I came to this country knowing that I will have a chance to become someone regardless of my gender, of my religion, or of my nationality. And this is a true diversity country, I think, and that's amazing. And the chances that I have here, I would never have in any other country. And I earned my master's degree, my second master's degree in the United States. I worked two jobs at a time while being a mother and a wife. And I always pushed myself to grow more and more. So with that mindset, I thought that everybody else probably are trying to do better, striving to better themselves. So when I move forward with my career in human resources, I always take note of people who I thought that have potential, and I wanted to make them better and grow them, help them to continue their education or go for promotion. So I had two stories that backfired on me.
So first of all, you come to this job with a lot of motivation, a desire to strive, to grow, to do better. And it's, you're attributing that really to, hey, I moved to this country as an immigrant, wanting to make a better life for myself. And you saw this as the opportunity to do that. And that belief was so strong and driving in you that you're like, yeah, I see potential. I want to help people to grow just like I've grown. I love that story. And I love that you know where that motivation comes from. And I can't wait to hear more, but because you said something that surprised me, trying to bring out the best in these people sometimes backfired. Tell us more.
So I did have this administrative assistant, a wonderful, smart young woman. And unfortunately, she dropped out of the college after 2 years. And I had a conversation with her and I asked her if she would like to go back to college. And at the organization that I was working at the time, we had a great tuition assistance program. She looked right into my eyes and she told me education is not part of my goals anymore. Look around. We have people who work here for 5, 10, 15 years. They have no education, but they are fine. My goals have changed. All I want to do is come to work, do my job, earn my money, and go home. Feeling disappointed, but I've learned to respect what she wanted. I had a different story.
Before we go too far, in that moment, you're sitting here, you're talking to this person, great potential in, and in your mind, it sounds like college was something that you greatly valued. So what was it like to hear her share that with you when you had a different vision for her?
Unexpected and probably a little bit disappointed. Because mm-hmm. when you see somebody smart, when you see somebody so witty and easy to learn new things to yourself, you think, okay, this person has a great potential. She's been in a college for 2 years. Let me put her to go back, earn a degree, and have a better life. But what I have in my mind for better life, it's not equals to what she has in her mind for a better life.
That's interesting. I think that was that a new thing for you to contemplate?
And that was very fresh to me because, like I said, I believe that people need to continue their education even when they already have master's and bachelor's, because I think learning more, it is not just knowing your subject, but also staying competitive in the market. So when you go to webinars, when you go to training programs, when you continue earning credits, it helps you to stay knowledgeable and competitive because, face it, the world is changing, the country changing. When we talk about human resources, the employment laws are changing, and it's not just on a government level, but state to state. It is important to professionals to always stay on track of what is happening in the country and how it is going to affect their jobs. With the AI going forward, a lot of people might be out of jobs, so they need to learn new skills. They need to learn how to survive or how to use AI as technology to advance what they're currently doing. So to me, education is a huge thing.
Yeah, I can tell how passionate you are about it. And it sounds like something that you really valued in your growth, getting a second master's after having a master's in your own country where you immigrated from. And now getting a second master's and really citing a lot of great reasons to continue to always learn. I did ask you to deepen a little bit about this one person, how it struck you. And now you started to go into, but wait, there's more. So tell me about another time where you experienced something like this.
And this case was a major disappointment for me because I ruled for years, excellent, very talented accounting manager. She was like the best that I've ever met. And we fortunately had an opening for a controller. So I approached her and we had a conversation because her team left her. The CFO thought that she will be perfect in this role. And when I talked to her, she said, I politely have to decline that. I'm like, no, how? It's a great promotion. This is just a huge job for you. But I have two little ones. My current position is already demanding. If I go for a controller job, it means that I will miss on my children even more. And I don't want to do that. So I guess that was a different type of rejection to better somebody because that was not the right time for her to be promoted. Although she had the skill, She had the desire, but it wasn't just a right time for her to move forward in her career. And as much as that was disappointing, I think I've learned how to respect and understand and try to support her in a way that it would help her better.
Let's dive in a little bit to this particular example, because what I really appreciated what you just shared with me and the audience was something that was a little bit vulnerable, which was, this one was a big disappointment for me because I really invested a lot in this person. I saw so much intelligence and talent in. What was it like in the moment for you to be facing this person who you've really invested in and you could see, wow, you had a movie playing probably about this person's future in your head. And then here she comes and says, I have to politely decline. Tell me about what happened for you in that moment inside.
I vote for me, of course, and then especially being in human resources, promotion is a good news. It's something that people usually take with, thank you. Oh my God, when I'm going to start? When my salary going to increase? Let's just give them more bonuses. And you always take it as I'm having a good news. I'm
HR. Yeah, it's a great day to share something like that, right?
Yeah. So you sit there and somebody, thank you, but no, I don't want a promotion. That was first for me. And I was like, what just happened? It is disappointing. And I think the first thing, like, you don't fully comprehend why it is happening. But then I think these are the moments when they become a great teaching moment for HR professionals, for the leaders in the organization, where before we move forward, pushing people to better themselves, promoting them, is to have that better understanding or deeper conversations with them to know what they actually want.
That is a beautiful way to bring this into this next space. I sensed from you is a little bit of shock when you heard from this colleague, this isn't the time for me. And it sounds like she understood how special it was in many ways, but she had to politely decline. So you said it, sometimes you don't know all the things. There's just a moment of, what? Wait, what? And then you started to explain to me one of the biggest lessons maybe that came from these moments. How did you move from shock to realizing that taking a step back and talking to people about what they want and need is a great way to avoid those types of surprises in the future?
Sometimes our intentions come from a good place. And when we're trying to support or help somebody, it not always need to mean pushing them towards what we think is better for them. I think rather than taking a pause and listening and understanding their values and supporting them in the path that they choose, not what we choose for them.
What happens when they're in the driver's seat?
I guess then they are more emotionally involved and engaged, so they can give more, because when we are in a position with the job or any other activities that we like and we actually want to be a driver, I think that will take them to places. It's a journey before the destination.
The journey before the destination. And it sounds like when they're the creator of the journey, they're really into it.
Yes, because they enjoy the path and it's not forced onto them. And it's not what we think as leaders or HR professionals or even as a society that would be best for them.
It strikes me that probably is a big shift for many people to make, which especially many of us go into HR because we care about people. We believe in people. We know people are the key to the success of an organization, the success of a relationship, the success of a family, whatever that looks like. People are the key. And you had a lot of good intentions. What was it like to let go of your vision for these two people that you really admired and saw a lot of potential in and give over to them the keys?
I guess what I've learned from this, it's just not to project my inner path, like towards success, onto others. Yes. And I understand that in human resources, we have all these training and development programs, and we need to approach it very carefully because this is not one size fits all. So this needs to be very intentional and very personalized. Otherwise, we are risking to waste our time, our resources, and most importantly, the talent, because we may overlook people who are willing to do more versus who we think can do that.
Are you enjoying the conversation? There are more game-changing insights still ahead. If you're passionate about driving transformation and want to stay ahead of the curve, join our Accelerated Transformation community. Send us a quick message on LinkedIn or via email and we'll send you an invite. Now, let's get back to the show.
I think that's really powerful. You don't want to waste your time, your resources, the company's resources, when you don't have somebody that's like totally invested in the journey too. I'm wondering, were there any points during this learning process for you where you just dug in deeper? You're like, no, you're going to get that promotion no matter what. How were you graceful in accepting that news, or did you push hard?
So no, of course, you cannot force people to take a promotion if they don't want to. And you can only suggest. And if they're not interested in it, that's a different conversation. But forcing people to do things when it's not right time for them or not right path for them, or making them to grow in a direction that you think is best for them, it's wrong, because you're going to see the resistance. And instead of nurturing their talent, you're going to just push them to become someone that they don't want to. And they essentially going to drop that. So they're going to change the organization. They're going to strive to find a place where they can feel happier or healthier. So to me, it is, at least in human resources, we have to strive to create an environment where people want to come to work, where people feel happy, where their mental health is valued, and they feel encouraged in the ways that promotes their inner abilities or their needs.
Help me fast forward these stories and talk to me a little bit about how you pivoted as someone who saw something that could be great for these folks. They didn't think it was the right thing for them at the time. What did your championship of them look like once you knew what was important to them?
I guess finding a way to support them in the way that they want to grow. So that is also important. So if today you tell me that I want a different path and I'm not interested on what you're suggesting for me, let's put it this way. Our kids, for example, my 21-year-old, she's in accounting. She's just one semester away to graduating. And this is what she thinks she wants to do right now. But who to say that in 5-10 years down in a career, she's not, I like drawing, I want to be in art, or I want to be in literature. Finding yourself, it can be a journey. So that's why journey before destination, it's one of the best things that I ever heard, because journey is important. And us as leaders, we have to support people to be successful in their journey before they can find that destination. They will say, okay, this is it.
I love that you brought your daughter to this story too, because that's a really tough one. I also have kids about the same age as yours, and watching them find their way when we think we might know all the answers and we really are invested in the outcomes for these children, that can be tough to nurture their vision for where they want to go on the journey. So what are some ways that you do that? Tell me some practical ways that you have been successful in helping people to find their way.
I think by starting to have real conversations, honest conversations, that not assuming something that we project on them, like not assuming that all of, and everybody wants to have a promotion and move on their career ladder, asking them what success looks specifically for them, and try to build real connections and respectful connections towards each other. Because if they decline continued education, or if they decline a promotion, that does not make them lesser professionals or lesser people, because they don't want to move forward at that time in their life. And I know that some people will take it really badly, because they would be disappointed and would say, okay, this person doesn't deserve it. But I disagree with that. It means people are not always ready to be where we want them to be. So again, having these conversations with them, assuming, not assuming what they want, but supporting them to in their success, what the success looks for them, I think it's a really important lesson that a lot of leaders need to learn.
It sounds like it's a careful balance between believing in the person and believing that person knows what's most important for them, and also exposing them to the possibilities without and being forceful about it. It sounds like you've struck a balance in finding what would success look like for you. And that might change what you expose them to and offer to them in that case.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yes. I think we all need to support everyone or people that surround us in the directions that they want to grow, not what we think they're growing to.
Support them in the direction they want to grow. Yeah, and I love that. And tell me about when you do that, how does it feel for you as an HR leader?
That feels actually very nice because over 25 years, there were people that I was very successful in supporting and promoting to different career levels and helping them to better themselves with continuing their education or learning new skills. And it's really nice when I get a call or a LinkedIn connection like, hey, now I'm this and that. Now I've learned these new skills. Now I am a CFO for the company. Now I own my own business. And it's extremely nice to know that you have a little hand in that, that you help people to achieve what they are. And I think it's important.
Yeah. You know what? Your whole face and energy just lifted when you thought about those LinkedIn messages you've gotten and all of the ways that people have shared that they've grown and maybe none of us would have ever anticipated, but it was you had a hand in helping them find the way they wanted to grow, which is pretty cool.
It is because I have to, when I came to this country, I was all by myself, like literally no friends, no family. But with my first job and my second job and my third job, I was blessed with people who mentored me and who support me. And without them, I don't think I would have been here today as I am. And I think we as leaders and HR professionals need to always keep that in mind. And even though in our career, we're going to have hiccups and people who are not ready for like being promoted or continuing their education, but there are going to be others who are. Right. And that would really matter for us to be there for them and help them to go through that path, to better themselves, to become somebody.
Yeah. So we're not in this all by ourselves, luckily. And even in the time when you felt like you might have been, mentors and people who cared about your growth, they showed up. So that really motivates you today. So talk to me a little bit about, in addition to learning that, hey, you have to let people grow their own way, and it's more focused on the journey, not necessarily just the destination. What are some of the tips you learned that you would like to share with others, leaders, so that they can help others to come back to them and say, hey, look at me now. You helped me do that.
So I guess, again, when we are choosing one path or another, and we're striving to do better, we have to be focused on what we're doing. If we decided to move forward with our goals and our dreams, that's something that we always, like some people say, you can build a dream board where you can put, now I did this, now I did that. So I think visualizing what we want to become, it is important. And it can be different timing, different path, but it is important for everyone to have some sort of goals to go through life. And to become a leader, it's not just a calling, but it's also a lot of learning and learning from everybody around you. I am one of the professors at my university. He said very interesting thing. He said, I trust the wisdom of this class. Trusting the wisdom of your colleagues, of your teammate, makes you a better leader when you're not micromanaging, when you're delegating, when you trusting that they have brilliant and great ideas that they can bring to the table. So I think that's what makes you more strong. When the leaders are not confident, that projects a very poor morale. Because non-confident people are scared of the ones who are smarter than them, who learn quicker than them, who know more than them. The smart leaders are the ones who surround themselves with people who are better, who are smarter, and who can do more than they, because that's the true leadership.
I think that the things that you said several very important things that I want to underline them. One, visualize your future for yourself and knowing your path. That's so important because you can focus on yourself, and knowing that is really important. And then if, as you move into the path of a leader, to be a leader isn't to always have all the answers. It's to be a learner and trust the wisdom of your colleagues around you and surround yourself with people with all kinds of wisdom. Soak it up. I love that. So what are your tips for bringing people into your space that have amazing dreams and are just as wise or wiser than we are?
I think to learn about each other, the best way is, especially in today's reality, is networking. And there's so many possibilities to network. You can use any social media for professional growth. Of course, LinkedIn is one of the best platforms to use. You can learn about people listening to podcasts, going to webinars, going to professional happy hours, or volunteering, because you can meet people in the same niche or in a different sectors. And from there on, you can build a relationship. And I've known a lot of people, just somebody commented on somebody's post or a LinkedIn article, and this is where the relationship started. This is where people got new jobs or mentors. So I think it's important to put yourself out there to build this networking relationship without expectation, or this is something that's going to stop. And I mean, it sometimes does happen to the next day, but having that network of people that share your values, that share your interests, I think can help you to build a future and better career path.
I love it. I think part of what you said was a word that scares a lot of people, which is networking. When I hear the word networking, sometimes that makes me have an icky feeling. However, what you said at the end was surround yourself with a network of people that can support you and you can support. To me, that's very different. And there's many paths to that don't involve like what maybe my label of networking is. It's more about being among folks and sharing yourself with them and learning about them so that you can be in community with them and help each other out. What are some of the ways that you have found that allow you to move from just a simple hello to a deeper conversation?
I can tell you this, the good salespeople are the ones who always know how to start a conversation because they notice nuances about the other person. So if we're talking about face-to-face conversation, they probably will observe your office, your outfit, and will try to make a connection on a personal level where they can keep on the conversation where it will grab you. Oh, I see you have pictures when you're playing golf. I play golf too. Something like that. When we talk about social media, for example, we talk about LinkedIn, people post or repost things that they are interested. Sometimes they don't comment, but they show an interest in specific articles or in specific areas. If that's something that also catches your eye or you have an interest in, this can be a really good start for a conversation.
I love that. And I think that comes with observing. It doesn't always mean that you have to be the one that speaks first. Maybe you're spending a little time taking it all in, which can speak really nicely to some of us who need a little time before we know the right thing to say. I love that you mentioned people are noticing important little things about, well, maybe it's a picture of something in your background. Maybe it's an interesting thing that you're wearing. And then they use that as a point of interest. In the workplace, when you're trying to build a deeper relationship with maybe your direct report, what are some ways that you've done that? It sounds like people trust you enough to share what's on their heart and mind. Like these two women who had the bravery to say, you know what, it's not the time for me. And here's why. Here's what I'd rather have. They must have had something that they trusted you to be able to share that. How do you build trust?
I think number one, it's always in any relationship, not just in a work relationship. It's respect for me. So if you respect each and every person in your organization, whether they're your direct reports or your superiors, that's going to work out well because respect equals to understanding where they come from and having patience. We're all human. So there are times where people can be short with you or sometimes people are not acting their best, but having patience to give them an opportunity to recover or to explain or to do better is also important for leaders. And why? Because you cannot project that every single person needs to be at their 100% every day. There are times where people can be down, and understanding that and respecting that and giving them space, I think, builds that trust in the relationship where you can move forward from there.
I love it. And I think one thing that you said that I really just want to underline is we are all humans. Sometimes we are going to mess up. Let's give each other a little space to recover and grow and learn and move on from that. And just know that we're all humans. We're all just trying to figure it out. And if we have our best intentions in place for one another, that can really go a long way, which is where you started. You always had your best intentions in mind for helping people around you. Lilith, what are some of the things that you would share with somebody that's maybe 15 years junior in their career? Any advice for somebody coming up in their space?
Yes, especially nowadays. Please do not be discouraged. Please be patient. I know when you're young, you want everything, but my two cents in this, please be patient. Everything is going to come to you. You are going to be successful. I believe that the new generation that is coming forward is very smart, very educated. And with the AI and all the other internet support that we have, they have more knowledge than I had when I was growing up. You have more exposure to the world and you know how it moves forward. Be patient, have your goals set up for yourself, and I'm sure you're all going to be very successful.
I love it. And being patient, having your goals set up, and something else that I'd like to just bring in that you said earlier is build a network of support people around you. You can't underestimate the power of having your community around you.
That is true. Yeah.
So where can people find you? I know people are going to want to reach out and learn more, Lilith. So please share. How can people get in touch with you?
You can find me on LinkedIn, and I'm hoping that will be also posted somewhere in the comments.
Absolutely. In the show notes, you can find where to reach out to Lilith on LinkedIn, but also do share some comments, share your questions, share your wonders, share what made you excited, share what you're confused about, because we want to hear from you. If you liked this episode with Lilith Kirsch, who did it, thank you very much, Lilith, for sharing your journey and your lessons and your wisdom with us. Please tune into Transformation Unfiltered. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform. You can subscribe and you can share this podcast with others who you think might benefit. We're looking forward to hearing from you. See you next time.
Thank you for hanging out with us and listening to Transformation Unfiltered. If you found today's conversation valuable, leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast player. It helps us reach more changemakers just like you. Do you know someone who would be great as a guest on our show? Send us a message on LinkedIn or drop us an email. We'd love to hear your recommendation and appreciate the connection. See you next week for another episode featuring an HR leader just like you who's hitting fast forward on change, impact, and transformation.